Blog Talk Radio.
Textbook, workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism and white supremacy. Tonight, we're still in the introduction of the book, and we're opening our opening section of tonight's discussion is the basic objectives of correct law enforcement. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to just start talking about some of the basics. And he will also get into what is law and those kinds of concepts. But we really need to understand how we're supposed to behave. And how I would even go as far to say that we are supposed to be enforcing our own law. And not look at someone else's law. Imposed on us to reinforce it upon ourselves. We have to have our own standards of legality and legitimacy. And I guess from my perspective, I would say that it's the reason why we are always being victimized by other people's laws, because we don't have a legal framework of our own that protects us, that we abide by, enforce, and impose upon others. And that's a concept that most people from our community cannot comprehend that they have the right to create laws for your own exclusive benefit and then impose it upon someone else. That's what black people should be doing. So, till then.
We can't hear you anymore.
Can't hear me.
No.
How about that?
No. So Brother Mean is on the line as well. So while you're working on that, you can connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/AKBeyondTheBook at that web address. You'll reach the community page where you will get information on upcoming broadcasts, in addition other books that we will be reading and evaluating on the show. That is facebook.com/AKBeyondTheBook. So We also have, I think this is Sean. Is that Sean?
Yes. Hey.
Hey, Sean. We also have Sean with us tonight. Okay, hang on a minute, because Charles is having problems with his mic, and so I need to see if he has it straightened out.
Okay.
My audio is fine right now.
Oh, that's better. Okay.
All right. Okay. If you have a copy of the text, you can open it to page 45. And we're covering the two basic objectives of correct law enforcement. Number one, to promote justice. That's the first basic objective. And the second is to eliminate injustice. And his explanation follows. A law is a tool. A law is a tool that can be used to produce and or maintain justice. A law can also be used as a tool to produce and or maintain injustice. Now, most of us are familiar with the latter, laws being used to maintain injustice, with respect to African peoples. Any law that is enforced by people in a manner that does not promote justice and or is enforced in such a manner that injustice is not eliminated is a non-law. Any person who enforces a non-law is acting as an outlaw. That's how we should be able to look at it. We should be able to look at if someone is imposing something upon us that is unjust, we should not consider that law lawful, legal. So many of our legal scholars in our community who promote these non-laws and who advocate these outlaws' right or authority to practice injustice are criminals. That's the only way you should be looking at it. If you want to have justice, if you want to be free and live a full life, because we're not living full lives, contrary to what we're being told. So, anyone who's saying, well, that's the law, and you got to obey this, and that's what it says, and you know it's wrong, you know it's unjust, in your mind, that should be illegal to you. You should be acting as though that law is criminal, and that you should be doing everything within your power in your everyday life to eliminate its power over your activities and its ability to punish you. That means you shouldn't submit to it. That means you were, quote-unquote, found guilty of not submitting to it. That means you should try to get away, evade punishment. That's what you should be doing. And if you're not doing it, that means you're insane. I'm not saying that we're all sane here, but you understand this is just another degree of insanity that you're going to submit to injustice when you and not behave in such a way as to promote justice, and you're submitting to it. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
I think it was interesting. I was listening to a lecture by Patrice, the comedian who recently passed. I can't think
Patrice
of
Patrice O'Neill.
O'Neill, that's his last name. And he was talking about how, it reminds me of what he was saying, I should say, about how, these injustices that are carried out by regular people like me and you. They're not carried out by some cabal of elitists who, may issue these orders, but the person who's going to come to your door is going to be just a regular person. So he was saying that if we would just stop doing these things that we know are unjust, we know that are inappropriate, because we are the ones who are the foot soldiers who are carrying these things out, if we would just stop, then all of this would change, because this is a faith-based system. And
right,
as long as people are just doing their jobs or whatever things that they have to tell themselves to carry out these offenses against you know, their fellow man, you know, this system will continue to be self-perpetuating.
That's right.
Also reminds me of Cat Williams, another comedian. He said the same thing. He was like, we're not fighting insurgents. We're fighting citizens. You know, does anybody know what an insurgent uniform looks like? You know, they're wearing tennis shoes and dresses and hats, and, you know, they're looking just like us. We're fighting people. But if they put a label on it, you know what I'm saying? If they tell you this is, like you said, illegal, or tell you that this is unjust and you should be fighting against this, you know, and it's people just like us that's going in there, you know, trying to fight for a cause, but we're fighting other people who are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Right.
It's just a form of mind control, or trying to, you know, manipulate you to do what they want you to do.
Yes, I would also like to add back to what you were saying about how these people who take these jobs, another thing Patrice O'Neill has said the people who they take these jobs in order to carry out injustice. They know what they're doing before they even take the job, and then they expect to be respected by it because everybody's living in fear. I'm saying it's this injustice is driven by fear, and fear is connected with worship. I don't have enough time to explain. I'm not gonna go into a discourse on fear and worship and obedience and that sort of thing, but perhaps on one of the other programs that we do, we'll tackle that. But we gotta understand you have to decrease your level of fear. We understand we were accustomed to, you know, trying to, you know, live, and we don't want harm to come to us, but we have to begin to decrease our fear factor. You have to. Because as long as you maintain a level of fear that keeps you imprisoned by these people, when I'm talking about just the necessary physical imprisonment, A mental imprisonment would keep you from behaving in such a way that would grant you liberty, that grants you freedom. Because it's your thought process that keeps you oppressed. I think it's a quote Java, you posted on your wall, that nobody can make you inferior without your consent.
That's right.
So it's your thinking that keeps you oppressed. Now, understand they are the first cause. They initiated the idea, the concept that you are inferior and that you should obey them. And, of course, they you know, they administer pain and other sorts of psychological tactics to get you to comply. But it's your job. It's your responsibility to resist that, and it's your responsibility to inflict pain on them to get them to comply to your way of thinking. You should be an impositor. You should be imposing upon others. And that's the only way. Black people got to lose the idea that they don't have a right to impose their way of thinking. And first of all, we have to develop a way of thinking. That's why we read this book, to discuss our own code of behavior. Dr. Amos Wilson said we have to change who we are so the white supremacist won't be able to be what he is. Because our current behavior as a group maintains white supremacy. White supremacy could not function if we didn't do the things that we do to keep it in order.
That's right.
And that's something every person listening and person that's not listening need to understand. And until then, they and whatever group that participates in that behavior pattern will always be oppressed by anyone who knows how to impose upon them. The next section. The three basic steps toward racial subjugation compensation. Number one, ask for what should be given. Number two, accept what is granted. Number three, compensate for the difference. and has a parenthetical notation here. It says between what was asked for and what was granted. Let's see. Now, his explanation follows here on page 46. Ask for what should be given. He says this means that non-white people should ask the white supremacist races to reveal truth, not just facts, and to promote justice and correctness in all things, at all times, in all areas of activity, including economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Those white people who practice white supremacy have established and maintained the practice through falsehood, non-justice, and incorrectness. Therefore, the revelation of truth plus the production of justice and correctness can best be established by first eliminating white supremacy and replacing it with thought, speech, and action that uses truth in such manner that justice and correctness is produced. This is what should be asked for. Number two in his list was accept what is granted. And what he means by that, he explains, is that this means that it is the white supremacists who are supreme over all the non-white people of the known universe. Correct. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. In all areas of activity, it is therefore correct for the victims of white supremacy to accept whatever the white supremacists choose to grant them. That is of constructive value. The non-white people of the known universe have nothing that is not subject to the power of the white supremacists. Therefore, the non-white people should accept from the white supremacists whatever they grant that is of constructive value, even if that which is granted is less than that which was asked for. As long as that which is granted is less than that which was asked for, then non-white people should continue to ask for that which should be granted, namely the revelation of truth and the establishment of justice, correctness in all areas of activity. Well, I'm going to give my little, hopefully I can clear it up if anybody couldn't understand. Because then when you ask white supremacy for something, they give it to you. And it's of constructive value, take it. Even though it's less than what you asked for, that means you keep asking till you get what you want. Because they're not going to, you know, he's saying they, since they have all this power and they usually don't allow things to exist that they know about or have in their possession and pass it on to you, so you go ahead and take that. That doesn't mean you don't create anything on your own and don't share it with the white supremacists. So you just go ahead and take that and use all the things that they you know, permit to be bestowed upon you in the system of oppression. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
I do not.
Okay. Okay. All right, number three, compensate for the difference. This means that after the victims of white supremacy ask repeatedly for what should be given, and after they accept what is granted, they should study what was granted to see if it is the same as that which was asked for. If what was granted is not the same as what was asked, non-white people should then speak and act to compensate for the difference between what was asked and what was granted. They can do this by thinking, speaking, and acting or behaving according to a code of behavior that promotes the revelation of truth and the use of truth in such a manner that justice and correctness is produced in all areas of activity, including he uses economic, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, I do. I was thinking that a lot of people are reluctant to accept things because they're saying that this isn't adequate. You know, this isn't what we want, or out of fear of being labeled as a puppet. You know what I'm saying? Like when they, like we said, go ahead and accept that they have the offer, but you already know in your mind this isn't worth it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And they're like, this is, well, I know for me, I'm like, this is what I want. So you end up, I guess, shortchanging yourself, or I do, you know, in an effort of, or trying to make an effort to take a stand and saying, no, you know, I'm trying to hold out for what I really want and not take this little BS that's insulting to what I'm really standing for in the first place. You know what I'm saying? That's what that kind of sounds like to me. That's like a contradiction of everything that, or, I don't know, it kind of sounds like it goes against some of our mind frame, you know. We're not just willing to accept anything, so we don't accept it, you know. We're trying to hold out for what we really want, and we don't accept anything, you know, whether it's adequate or not. And it is, you know, stated. No, this isn't what I want. This is an insult, you know. And that almost sounds like what he's saying to do, you know, accept whatever and just move on with that until you get more.
Well, I understand what your point is. But to me, I mean, like I have seen it differently. He's saying that if it's of constructive value, some people may say, look at reparations. And you see a lot of people talking, we want reparations, okay? Now, I'm not a reparations advocate, but I'm just saying, if I were a reparations advocate, you know, and a lot of people who are reparations advocate are anti, let's say, public support. You know, they look down on people who get government benefits or anything. But that's what reparations is. They want the government to pay for something, compensate them, with the express objective of, addressing a wrong. And that would make, you know, I consider that an insult. To say, I'm going to hold this wicked institution to this high standard of, or probably the pretense of a standard of a distinction, that they are going to correct right or wrong and remain in power at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
See? And they'll say, no, we want these things. And those people won't try to get, or at least they won't openly admit that they get the government aid. A lot of them do get aid. They get grants for their projects that they work on at the universities and at their foundations. So they get money from them, but they're telling you, you know, looking down on you for getting your, you know, your compensation, whatever, that you may consider your reparations. Like I say, it's of constructive value. If it's of constructive value, I would argue, I mean, if you can do something with it, if you can use it to accomplish something in your life to make, you know, certain objectives easier to accomplish, take it. And I'm not saying be content with that. I'm not saying be or be satisfied with that and not want more. And neither is Mr. Fuller saying that either. He's saying take it, use it, and move on to try to keep getting whatever it is that you need. And he's not saying don't create things for yourself. So basically, get them to give you whatever they're going to give you and keep asking or whatever and keep making things for yourself. So that's what it sounds like he's saying to me. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Yeah, it's very similar to the car maker who show up in a private jet coming to get a check.
Right.
In Washington, D.C. You know, they keep asking, they keep taking, they keep going, and nobody faults them for that. You know,
right.
That's how they roll. You know.
That's right. They get all the government benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we let our so-called leaders tell us or look down on us when they're taking benefits too. So everybody's, you know, run this hustle. You know, and they're not helping you make the best of your constructive of things that you may or may not have asked for, but yeah, you, most of us did because you had to go to the office and apply for financial aid for college or whatever. So, yeah. Yeah, the next section, four basic entitlements toward the promotion of justice. Number one, adequate teaching learning facilities for constructive communication so that every person knows the truth about everything he or she needs to know in order to have done anything that should be done. Number two, adequate housing and constructive control over adequate space, land, etc. Number three, adequate and progressive health facilities and nutritional products. Number four, adequate, safe, comfortable, convenient, and effective, efficient transportation. So we should feel entitlement to the for the promotion of justice in order to be able to educate ourselves, live in a and have, you know, live in adequate, you know, housing and have nice space. Don't let them crowd us into ghettos and high rise projects like we have allowed to be done to us, and do basically have, you know, decent living situation. Number three, three basic requirements for the establishment of peace. Number one, truth or the revelation thereof. Number two, justice. Number three, correctness. His explanation follows. Peace is the result of the revelation of truth and the use of truth in a manner that produces justice and correctness. And his definition of truth is that which is, he said, justice is the balance between people, and correctness is the balance between people and all things, animals, plants, minerals, etc., other than people. When all people speak and or act to use truth in a manner that produces justice and correctness at all times, in all places, in all areas of activity, as economic, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, peace is the result. And that's our concluding section. Do anybody have any comments to say on that, any of these last two sections that I covered?
No, I don't.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, they seem to be pretty self-explanatory. And we'll close out the meeting on that particular subject. And we'll open up next week's discussion on three basic goals sought by most people in the known universe. And that'll be a good opener.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see y'all next week for the book African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. Thank you for joining us. And the book club members and all the other listeners who are on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to meeting y'all again. Same, hopefully at an earlier time at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. And remember, we'll talk about the three basic goals sought by most people in the known universe. That should be an interesting discussion. All right, y'all have a good night.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Good night.